Before we dive in, I need to mention that this entire episode is AI-generated, including our voices. Today's show is brought to you by MindMapper Pro, the fictional study app that transforms your textbooks into interactive neural pathways. Completely made up, so don't go looking for it. And please fact-check anything that sounds important, since some details might be hallucinated. I'm Maya, and today I'm talking with David about something that's been bugging me for months, the SQ3R method. Survey, question, read, recite, review. It's everywhere in study skills guides. But I can't shake the feeling we've never really interrogated whether it actually works.
I'm glad you brought this up. I'm a cognitive psychologist, and honestly, SQ3R sits in this weird space for me. On one hand, it incorporates some solid learning principles. On the other hand, it was developed in the 1940s, and we've learned so much about how memory and comprehension work since then.
Right. And that's what's fascinating to me as someone who writes about productivity and learning systems. SQ3R has this almost mythical status. Students are taught it like gospel, but when I try to trace the evidence base, it gets surprisingly thin, surprisingly fast.
Exactly. Francis Robinson created it during World War II to help military personnel study more effectively. The context was very specific. You had people who needed to absorb technical information quickly under pressure. But somehow it became the default approach for all kinds of reading.
And that's where I start to get suspicious. Because when I look at how people actually read today, jumping between articles, skimming social media, processing multimedia content, the idea that one method from 80 years ago should still be optimal feels questionable.
Though to be fair, the core principles aren't crazy. Active engagement with material, spaced retrieval practice, connecting new information to what you already know. Those are all things we know help with retention and comprehension.
True, but let's dig into that. When you say we know, how solid is that knowledge really? Because I've noticed this pattern where study methods get recommended based on principles that sound right, rather than direct evidence that the method itself works.
That's a really important distinction. There's definitely evidence that questioning yourself while reading helps comprehension. There's evidence that summarizing or reciting information aids retention. But you're asking whether the specific SQ3R sequence is validated, and that's murkier.
Exactly. And here's what bothers me most. When I watch people try to use SQ3R, they often seem to be fighting against their natural reading instincts. Like they're imposing this rigid structure on a process that might work better with more flexibility.
I've seen that too. Students will dutifully go through the survey step, reading headings and subheadings, even when they're already familiar with the topic. Or they'll force themselves to generate questions before they have enough context to ask good ones.
Right. And that makes me wonder if we're optimizing for the wrong thing. SQ3R feels designed to maximize information extraction from a single pass through a text. But maybe the goal should be building genuine understanding over time.
That's interesting. You're suggesting the method might be artifact of a particular view of learning. This idea that you read something once, process it completely, and then you're done with it.
Exactly. But that's not how expertise actually develops, right? Experts revisit the same ideas multiple times, each time with more context and deeper questions. They don't follow a linear sequence.
Though I'd push back on that a bit. For novices encountering completely new material, having some kind of structured approach might be genuinely helpful. When you don't know what you don't know, a method like SQ3R at least ensures you're doing more than passive reading.
Fair point. But here's what I'm curious about. Is SQ3R actually better than just telling people to read more actively? Like, what if the benefit comes from paying attention to your comprehension, not from following the specific five-step sequence?
That's a testable question. And I don't think it's been tested as rigorously as it should be. Most of the studies I'm aware of compare SQ3R to completely passive reading, not to other active reading strategies.
And that seems like a pretty low bar. Of course, any active method beats passive absorption. But what happens when you compare SQ3R to, say, the Cornell note-taking method, or to elaborative interrogation, or to just reading with the goal of explaining the material to someone else?
Those comparison studies are rare, and when they exist, the results are often mixed, which makes me think the method might matter less than we assume. Maybe what matters is that people are being intentional about their reading regardless of the specific technique.
But hold on. If that's true, then we should be honest about it. Instead of presenting SQ3R as the method, we should be saying, here's one way to read more actively, find what works for you.
Agree with that in principle. But there's also something to be said for giving people a concrete starting point. Choice paralysis is real. If someone has never thought about reading strategically, maybe having a specific method to try is better than being told to figure it out themselves.
That's true, but it assumes that SQ3R is a good starting point. What if it's actually a bad introduction to active reading? What if it teaches people that effective studying means following rigid procedures rather than thinking flexibly about what they're trying to accomplish?
You're suggesting it might be counterproductive in the long run, even if it helps initially.
Right? Like training wheels that people never take off. And I think there's some evidence for this in how SQ3R gets taught. Students learn to go through the motions, but they don't necessarily learn to adapt the approach based on their goals or the type of material.
That's a teaching problem, though, not necessarily a method problem. You could imagine teaching SQ3R in a way that emphasizes the underlying principles and encourages adaptation.
Could you, though? Because the method is inherently sequential. Survey, then question, then read, then recite, then review. That structure seems to discourage the kind of flexible back and forth that characterizes skilled reading.
Actually, let me challenge you on that. Skilled readers do survey new material before diving in. They do generate questions. They do engage in some form of self-testing. Maybe the sequence isn't as rigid as it appears.
But that's exactly my point. Skilled readers do those things fluidly, in response to what they're discovering. They might question, then read a bit, then survey ahead, then question again. SQ3R locks that into a fixed order.
I see what you mean. It's like the difference between following a recipe and understanding cooking. The recipe might work, but it doesn't teach you to adjust based on what you're observing.
Yes, and here's what worries me about that. Reading isn't like following a recipe. Different texts require different approaches. A dense academic paper needs different treatment than a historical narrative or a technical manual.
That's a good point. SQ3R seems most suited to textbook-style expository writing. I'm trying to imagine using it with, say, a research paper with multiple competing interpretations, and it feels clunky.
Exactly. And increasingly, that's the kind of reading that matters. Students need to work with conflicting sources, synthesize information across different formats, deal with incomplete or biased information. SQ3R feels inadequate for that.
Though maybe we're being too hard on it. Robinson wasn't trying to solve all reading challenges for all time. He was trying to help people learn from straightforward instructional material. For that specific goal, it might still be useful.
That's fair, but then we should be clear about those limitations. Instead, SQ3R gets presented as a general-purpose study method. Students use it for everything from literature analysis to scientific research, often unsuccessfully.
And that brings us back to the evidence question. If SQ3R is being used so broadly, we should have really solid research on its effectiveness across different domains, but we don't.
Right, and I think that's partly because it's become so institutionalized that questioning it feels almost heretical. Study skills courses teach it, learning centers recommend it, tutors default to it. There's this assumption that it must work because it's so widespread.
That's a dangerous assumption. Widespread adoption doesn't equal effectiveness. And in education especially, practices can persist long after better alternatives emerge, just because they're embedded in how we train teachers and design curricula.
So here's what I'm wondering. What would a modern version look like? If we were designing a reading method from scratch, based on current research on cognition and learning, what would be different?
That's a fascinating question. I think we'd probably emphasize metacognition more, helping people monitor their own understanding in real time. We'd probably build in more flexibility based on reading goals and text types.
And I think we'd focus more on building connections, both to prior knowledge and between ideas within the text. SQ3R treats each text as sort of isolated, but real understanding comes from seeing patterns across sources.
Yes, and we'd probably integrate digital tools better. Most people now read across multiple devices, take digital notes, have access to immediate fact-checking and background information. SQ3R assumes you're reading a physical book in isolation.
That's huge. the ability to quickly look up unfamiliar concepts, cross-reference claims, or find related sources changes how reading should work. But SQVR doesn't account for any of that.
And we'd probably think more carefully about spacing and interleaving. Instead of the intensive single-session approach that SQ3R implies, we might design methods that work better with distributed practice over time.
Which brings me to something I've been thinking about. Maybe the real problem isn't SQ3R specifically, but this whole idea that there should be one method for all reading. Maybe we need a more diagnostic approach.
What do you mean by diagnostic?
Like, instead of defaulting to a standard method, people first assess what they're trying to accomplish, what type of text they're working with, how much prior knowledge they have, how much time they have available, then they choose strategies accordingly.
That makes sense, but it also requires a lot more sophistication from readers. They need to understand the strategy options, recognize different text types, accurately assess their own knowledge. That's a pretty high cognitive load.
True, but maybe that's exactly the skill we should be teaching. Instead of giving people a one-size-fits-all method, we teach them to be strategic readers who can adapt their approach based on context.
I like that idea in principle, but I keep coming back to the implementation challenge. How do you teach flexible strategic thinking to someone who's never learned to read actively at all? Don't you need some concrete starting points?
Maybe, but those starting points don't have to be SQ3R. You could teach a handful of specific techniques, like elaborative questioning or summarization or concept mapping, and help people learn when each one is most useful.
That's interesting. So instead of one comprehensive method, you'd teach a toolkit of focused strategies.
Exactly. And crucially, you teach people to notice when their current approach isn't working and try something different. That's what good readers actually do, but SQ3R doesn't really encourage that kind of adaptive behavior.
I think you're onto something important there. The rigidity might be the real limitation. Even if the individual components of SQ3R are useful, locking them into a fixed sequence prevents people from developing judgment about when and how to use them.
And that judgment is crucial because reading contexts are so variable now. Someone might need to quickly evaluate a source's credibility, or extract specific information for a project, or deeply understand a complex argument, or synthesize information across multiple sources.
Right, and those different goals probably require different cognitive strategies. Trying to force them all through the same five-step process seems inefficient at best.
So where does that leave us? Should study skills programs abandon SQ3R entirely, modify it, keep teaching it but with more caveats?
I think we should definitely stop presenting it as the definitive method for academic reading. But maybe there's still value in teaching it as one option, especially for students who are completely new to strategic reading.
I can see that. Like training wheels that you explicitly plan to remove once people develop better judgment about reading strategies. But then the teaching would have to be very different. More emphasis on why each step might be useful, when it might not be.
Exactly, and probably more emphasis on helping people recognize when they're not understanding or when their current approach isn't working. That's the metacognitive piece that SQ3R doesn't really address.
What's interesting is that this conversation has shifted my thinking. I came in pretty skeptical of SQ3R, and I still am. But I'm less focused on whether it works and more interested in what it prevents people from learning.
Same here. I started thinking about the method itself, but now I'm more concerned about how it gets taught and whether it encourages the kind of flexible thinking that actually characterizes skilled reading.
And maybe that's the real question we should be asking. Not whether SQ3R works, but whether it helps people become better readers in the long run. Those might be very different things.
That's a much harder thing to study, but probably more important, because ultimately, we want people to develop expertise, not just follow procedures.
Right. And expertise means knowing when to break the rules, when to adapt, when to try something completely different. I'm not sure SQ3R teaches any of that.
Which brings us to this uncomfortable possibility, that SQ3R might actually work in the short term, but be counterproductive over longer timescales. It might help people pass tests, but prevent them from becoming sophisticated readers.
That would explain why it survives so long in educational settings. It produces measurable improvements quickly, which makes it popular with instructors and students. But those improvements might come at the cost of deeper learning.
and that's really hard to test because the negative effects would show up much later, in contexts very different from where the method was originally taught.
So, what's our takeaway for listeners who are trying to figure out how to read more effectively?
I think the main thing is to be skeptical of any method that claims to work for all reading situations. Pay attention to what you're trying to accomplish and choose strategies that fit those goals.
And if you do use SQ3R, treat it as a starting point, not a destination. The goal should be developing your own sense of how to read strategically, not following someone else's sequence forever.
Most importantly, notice when your current approach isn't working and be willing to try something different. That flexibility might be more valuable than any specific technique.
Which leaves us with this question that I think we've only begun to answer. If SQ3R isn't the solution, what should replace it? And how do we teach reading in a way that actually prepares people for the complexity of real-world information processing?
That's a question that deserves a lot more research and experimentation than it's gotten. But at least now we're asking it.